I want to move to back to Luke chapter 1. The message last week was entitled Christmas Prayer. I want to continue with that part two. Make a couple of observations as we go through Luke chapter 1. And I believe I hope to finish up with Luke chapter 2 next week. But I felt like I've prayed for more people this Christmas season than I ever have in my life due to this virus and the stress that we find ourselves in and under. And that underscores for me all the more the importance of Christmas, because it's not about, as I always say to you, it's not about presents. Amen. It's not about getting a tablet. Come on. It's not about getting a car or, you know, a phone. It's not about presents. It's about presence. It's about presence. Okay. And so we, and in America, which people always say, you know, the greatest nation on earth, the most prosperous nation on earth, we have a tendency then to set our eyes on things and not people. And I've said to us before, things come from people, but people come from God. Amen. Proverbs 19:14 says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, but a good wife is of the Lord. Houses and riches are the inheritance. That's what you get from fathers. But a prudent wife is from the Lord. And there it underscores that things come from people, but people come from God. Therefore, value the people that God put in your life. Value the people that God puts in your life. And that's what we're looking at in the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Because what were they praying for? Were they praying for a donkey? Were they praying for that new Lexus mule to come up? No. They were praying for a person. That's what they were asking God for. And I said to us last week as I close, who are we praying for? Who are we valuing? Who do we want? Who do we value before God and recognize that God has put within our life and we want them in our life? You know, a lot of people talk about, coronavirus has caused so much stress on people caught up in the house. I flip it around and say, no, I think it's the opposite way around. God wants to fix some marriages by you being stuck up in the house with that mate. You need to put it right. You need to get it right. You need to get a hold of God and let him put that relationship right instead of running away from one another. We stuck up in the house. Good. Fix that thing. It's the reason why you stuck up in that house. Hello. Come on. Value the person that God's put within your life. Well, how do I know God put it? I just went and married him. Yeah, when you married him, you did it. That was God putting him in your life. It's done now. So fix it. Let God fix it. Okay? And so, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were barren. They couldn't have children. And on top of that, they were old. Like Abraham and Sarah, they were past the years of having children. But God wanted to bring a person into their lives. Not a thing. Nothing wrong with things. Nothing wrong with giving gifts for Christmas. So don't get me wrong. Don't go out here saying pastor hates presents. Pastor's against. No, no. But of more value, of so much more value than things are people, right? The relationships that God has given us. And so not only did God want to bring a person into Zacharias and Elizabeth's life, but God wanted to bring another person into their lives. And I'm persuaded he continues to do the same thing today. So as we read verse 14, Luke chapter 1, verse 14, I'll read our text for today. It says, and you will have joy and gladness. This is the angel talking to Zacharias while he's offering incense in the temple. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many from many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so we start with the angel declaring unto Zacharias and Elizabeth, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And as I said last week, God here is answering Zacharias and Elizabeth's prayer. Their prayer was for a child. Remember, the angel said to Zacharias, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. Your wife is going to bear you a son. So Zacharias was crying out. And isn't it interesting that God often allows us to get in a circumstance that causes us to cry out? We see it at the Red Sea when the children of Israel were hemmed in by Pharaoh and his soldiers and the sea before them. They couldn't go anywhere. What did they do? They cried out to the Lord. And there are multiple instances in everyone sitting here in our lives where we are crying out to God. Why? Because we have no answer. Why? Because we can't move to the left. We can't move to the right. We can't go forward. We can't back up. We're just in a place. And we must cry out to God. And God allows that through this life that we live. And so God is answering their prayer for a son. And this would result in great joy and satisfaction in their lives and among their family and friends. But as it goes on in verse 15, this they did not have in mind. The angel said this, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. That's the vow of a Nazarite. And so Numbers chapter 6, I believe it is, where one who took the vow of a Nazarite didn't eat anything of the grape from seed to skin, the Bible says, because they were committed in their relationship to God. They also wouldn't cut their hair, right? Samson was the most famous Nazarite that we can think of. John the Baptist was a Nazarite. They believed Samuel, the prophet, was a Nazarite, as were others. And so Samson's mother didn't either also drink wine or strong drink. The angel went on and said, he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we see the angel talking to Zacharias and Elizabeth, John's parents, about the nature of this child. How little do we know about our own offspring? You know, sometimes as parents, you think you know it all. You think you got your child, you know. But the Bible says when Jesus, at 12 years old, they found him in the temple after they had left him, thought that he was among their company. When they found him, they said, why have you done this to us? And he said, didn't you know that I would be about my father's business? And the Bible says Mary tucked that away in the back. Mary just kind of hung on to that. It was the same way when Joseph told his mother and father and his brothers that he saw a dream and he saw the sun and moon fall at his feet and the 12 stars fall down before him, 11 stars fall down at his feet. And while Jacob rebuked Joseph for his dream, he remembered. He just tucked that away. There's something about this child. There's something going on in this child. And oftentimes we think we know all that's going on, but the angel now is telling Zacharias and Elizabeth about this son that they're about to give birth to, that he's going to bless them with. And he says he also will be great in the sight of the Lord. And John, we find, was more than what people thought of him. John was much more than what people thought of him, according to what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus said, but what did you go out to see? Speaking of John, he says, a prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. John was not only a prophet, he was more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. That's a quote from Malachi 4:1, where the Lord God said, I will send my messenger before before the Messiah's face. And so one commentary said his greatest commendation of all was his office and ministry, which was more his honor than any personal endowments or qualifications. In other words, for it was God who chose him and sent him as a forerunner before his son. And this is what God was doing. I often say, particularly in certain illustrations in the Bible, where God caused someone to hunger for something and they cried out for it and God answered their prayer, in the midst of answering their prayer, he was also answering his own will, you see. So when Zacharias and Elizabeth asked for a son, they only wanted a child, but God said, I want a forerunner. I want a prophet who's going to run before my son, as he comes to preach the gospel, the good news. And how many times that God calls you and I to long for something only to find out that God's not only giving you what you want, but he's getting what he wants in the eternal scheme of things. I'm telling you, that absolutely blows my mind. It blows my mind that God would use us and move through us that way. Here it was bringing Christ into the earth. That is what mattered first and foremost above all things. God was bringing his son into the earth, and John was going to be his forerunner. See? And so what God did then, I believe he's still doing now, because you and I are earthen vessels. In the same way he calculated to bring Christ into the earth, so he's bringing Christ repeatedly, constantly in and through you and I. And so he's moving in our lives to present his son, to bring forth Christ, his son. That's why your life is so radically changed. That's why God would not leave us alone, because the power of his Holy Spirit is working in us to present Christ, to present Christ. That it would be Christ that people hear. It would be Christ's life that people see. It would be Christ's ministry that flows through us as we are his hands and his feet. One commentary noted that he, John, was prophesied of by the other prophets and therefore was greater than they. Malachi prophesied concerning John, behold, my messenger, I send my messenger before thy face. Herein, some of Christ's honor was put upon him that the Old Testament prophets spoke and wrote of him. His business was to prepare Christ's way, to dispose people to receive the Savior by discovering to them their sin and misery and their need of a Savior. Their need of a Savior. Matthew 11:11, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen one greater than John the Baptist. One commentary said, even the prophet Moses, as great as he was not greater than John the Baptist. Even Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, all these prophets, Jesus said there has not arisen a greater prophet than John. For what he was not only a prophet, he was more than a prophet. He was the forerunner. I like what one commentary said. Some prophets spoke about the coming Messiah. John the Baptist pointed to him. There's a great difference. He was in the vernacular. Jesus was standing right before him, and that made his ministry all the more significant. And so this is what God was doing in bringing into Zacharias and Elizabeth's life. They were bringing John, a person who was so significant that he had designated him a Nazarite from the womb. But what I want to also point to is this. Because it's all about, for me, Christmas is all about relationship. It's all about God reaching out to man. Not man reaching out to God, but God reaching out to man. And the relationship that God was blessing Zacharias and Elizabeth with was not, it didn't end with John. And we see this in verse 15. The scripture says, the angel says of John, he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And so not only was, you know, the angel talking to them about God's going to bring, give you and answer your prayer and give you this son, but as God is always, this is what I love about God. Listen, when you ask something for God, it reminds me of Solomon. Remember when he offered all these sacrifices up on Mount Gibeon? And the Lord said, what do you want? Ask me. And Solomon said, well, you've blessed your servant to become king in my father's stead, and I have all these people that I'm going to be king over. He said, would you please give me a wise and an understanding heart that I might know how to judge this people and going and out before them? And God says, he says, because you have not asked for the life of your enemies, you've not asked for long life or for riches. He says, I'm going to give you the wisdom that you asked for. It's been granted unto you, but also what you didn't ask. See, this is God. Oh, I love old Shay. Hey, so when you go ask God, God is the one who gives you more. Listen, when you place an order on Amazon, I've never seen it come. My package plus 3, 4, 5 other packages, because the world doesn't do that. Only God gives you more than what you ask for. Amen? Because the Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And so, so Zacharias and Elizabeth were only expecting to get John. Now, they may have not have known in the Old Testament, but what we know in the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. So with, not only was God giving Elizabeth and Zacharias a son in John, he was giving them also the third person of the Godhead. Because the scripture says he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Hello? John would be filled with this person. And so here I just want to underscore again that God is about relationship. He's about relation. Listen, hey, God is not, he didn't come into Zacharias and say, hey, Zacharias, hear that number you've been looking for, that number you've been playing, hey, that lottery number, here it is. No, of much more value, of much more value. Here, we're going to give you a son. But we're not going to stop with that. Why? Because God had plans. Amen. God had plans because as a prophet, John would need the Holy Spirit. Here's what's interesting about, I like it about John, and as we can make application to our own life. The power of the Holy Spirit did not manifest itself in John by way of miracles. You ever notice that? Gospel of John 10:41, the people said, John did no sign. He didn't perform signs and wonders. But what does the church look for today? What do many people in the church look for today? I mean, they're all about it. If they see a sign, they see a wonder, they're running over to this ministry, running over to that ministry, chasing signs and wonders. But John did no sign. Yet the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. So in the ministry of John, the Holy Spirit manifested himself in powerful and persuasive preaching. Powerful and persuasive preaching. Listen, while the apostles of the New Testament and the prophets of the Old Testament did great signs and wonders through the power of the Holy Spirit, there does seem to be a consistent trait of those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's not signs and wonders. Hello? Let me say that again. While the apostles of the New Testament and the prophets of the Old Testament did great signs and wonders through the power of the Holy Spirit, There does seem to be a consistent trait of those who are filled with the Holy Spirit apart from signs and wonders. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to suggest to you that a manifestation of the Holy Spirit is something that each and every one of us do all the time. It is something that is available to us all the times. When people are looking for signs and wonders, oh, that person was raised from the dead. Thank God we need people raised from the dead. Don't get me wrong. We need signs and wonders. We need gifts of healing, gifts of faith, gifts of miracles. We need it all. But in John's life, the Spirit manifested itself in powerful preaching and persuasive preaching. In Acts 2 and 4, there were supernatural utterances and the ability to speak in other languages. Acts 4 and 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Why is Acts 4 and 8 so powerful a demonstration of the Holy Spirit? Because 50 days earlier, a little servant girl saw this same Peter gathered by a fire. And this little servant girl had Peter cursing and swearing that he didn't know who Jesus was. But 50 days later, after that, the Holy Ghost came upon Peter. Peter stood up boldly and said, you rulers of the people, let me tell you what happened to the man at the beautiful gate. Let me tell you that it was by faith in Jesus' name, who you slew and hung on a tree, that raised him up and gave him, made him strong. What was the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? It was a boldness of speech. It was when it comes your time to say something, you can say it. It was when it's your time to take a stand, you can stand. That is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You ever been there? Yo, hang on. If you haven't, it's coming. You're going there. Amen. This life we're living, you're going there. There's no way to get around it. So there is a supernatural boldness to declare the word of God. Acts 4:31, when Peter and John were taken before the Sanhedrin and they told him, don't preach or teach anymore in this name. And they were rebuked by them. The scripture says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Boldness. And it didn't say meanness. Just said boldness to declare the word of God. Acts 13 and 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. And this was a case where Paul called down divine judgment upon a sorcerer. A sorcerer who was trying to turn an official away from the preaching of the gospel, away from the faith, and Paul called down blindness upon him. He said, you enemy of all righteousness, you son of the devil, the hand of the Lord shall be upon you for a season. And immediately amidst a dark mist fell upon him, and he lost his eyesight. And he did that, the Bible says, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. We need some of that. Hello. Put the fear of God in some people. Not as we will it, but as the Father wills it. Amen. Don't want to get that wrong. Now, let me also share this, because oftentimes, you know, people are looking for manifestations of the Holy Spirit that are eerie and woo, and like, come on now. No. Jesus performed so many signs and wonders, the Bible says, that if all the books of the world couldn't contain his ministry. And yet Jesus speaking, oh my goodness, all that he said, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophesying so much. Ephesians 5 lends itself to this when it comes to speaking. Listen at what the Spirit, how the scriptures declare the manifestation of the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18. in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he begins to illustrate what the filling, what some of the dimensions of being filled with the Spirit are. And he said this, speaking to one another, speaking to one another, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know how you can tell a spirit-filled believer? Because they're not complaining and murmuring and gossiping and calling you up and saying, I hate Pastor did this. What do you think? Oh, no, that's not spirit-filled living. That sister over there said such and such, and she made me mad. That's not spirit-filled living. Hello? Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What would it be like if I called you up and said, Brother Daniel, the Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? The Lord is the strength of your life. Of whom shall you be afraid? What if I called you? What if we called one another up and spoke to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Listen, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. That's something, by the way, that the Holy Spirit is working in your life as we speak, as we're right here, right now. Guess what? He's in the process of convincing you and showing you that everything you need to give God thanks for. You say, I'm not there yet. Who is? I'm not there either. But I'll tell you what, that's part of the Spirit-filled life. Giving thanks to God always for all things, to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see? And so being filled with the Spirit is not just signs and wonders. You know, I know folk. Well, I've had folk tell me that they prayed over their dead bird and that dead bird got up. Great. Glory. Okay, cool. But you know what? The Bible says that we are also, that there's so much that God, that has to do with the filling of the Spirit, that has to do with me speaking a word to you. How many times my brother Moses has come to church and Carl would be over here exhorting. He said, I don't know who I'm talking to. Then he goes sharing. And it was a word from my brother here. He was speaking forth the word of the Lord, right? And so we need this Spirit-filled life. And so the Holy Spirit, the scripture said about John, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Acts 7 and 55. You remember about Stephen. The Bible says when the widows needed ministering to in Acts chapter 6, the apostle said, it's not right for us to leave the word of God to serve tables. Look out among you, seven men. They said this, full of the Holy Spirit. Look out for seven men. Find seven men amongst you who are full of the Holy Spirit. One of those men was Stephen. And the Bible says that he, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he did great signs and wonders among the people. We recognize that. But also in Acts 7:55, the scripture says, this is why they were stoning Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. So some of what we know about being filled with the Holy Spirit is that it gives you spiritual vision and spiritual insight. You see things, when you're filled with the Spirit, you see things that you normally could not see. Hey, glory to God. I could tell you story after story after story after story after story. I could tell you stories, some of which, listen, some of the stories I could tell you, I wish I couldn't tell you. Sometimes the Holy Ghost show you things you don't want to see. You think I'm joking? I'm not going to share them all. I'm not going to share any here because they're not edifying. I mean, what happened to the person, what I saw, wasn't edifying. I'll share one. I'm not going to mention any names. There's a fellow on TBN. Y'all know Trinity Broadcasting Network. TBN. And the brother had the glory on him. He's dead and gone now. He died 9 years ago. And we would host TBN. And he had the glory on him. And I remember, and I didn't watch TV or get on a treadmill, watch some TV or whatever. And I remember this one day, I turned on the television, and there he was. And as soon as I saw his face, the scripture came to mind, 1 Samuel, where it said, the glory is departed, Ichabod. The glory of God that was on him was gone, literally gone. And it looked like he was in a depression and in a sadness and in a very bad spiritual condition. It was 2011, August of 2011. He died, 42 years old, gone, just gone. And I'm like, Father, God have mercy. You say, well, how did you know what you know? Because sometimes the Holy, and I've had it happen more than one time. Like I said, I could tell some stories. I've had it happen more than one time where the Holy Ghost shows you something you have no way of knowing. You just don't know other than he reveals it. And I said, my God, have mercy. Have mercy. And so he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I want to get to verse 59. It says this. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he fell asleep. And I said that to say this. I believe the Holy Spirit, as the scripture says, gave him insight. And he saw heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. But the same Holy Spirit that did that was also the Holy Spirit that gave him power to forgive those who were oppressing him, to forgive those who were torturing them, to forgive those who was literally sapping his life out of him. And you want to know one of the fruits of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be able to come to a place of forgiveness toward those who are oppressing you. That Dylan Roof who killed those people at Mother Emanuel Church, I believe it was in 2009 or whenever it was. It wasn't that long ago. The Bible says that when they came to court, not the Bible, the account, the report says when they came to court, they stood in the courtroom and they each one said, I forgive you. Who killed the pastor, 9 people along with the pastor. And they stood before this man. And they said, I forgive you. And that, my friends, was a demonstration of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, right for the whole world to see. Right for the whole world to see. And some people are looking for miracle signs and wonders over here. I'm like, you just looked at a sign. God help us. So being filled with the Holy Spirit will result in working through forgiveness toward those who have wronged us. Amen. But I want you to see this, because the scripture says he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Now, not only would John be filled with the Holy Spirit, but his mother was filled with the same Holy Spirit, with the third person of the Godhead. So the angel says, we're giving to you John. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But in Luke 1:41, it says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So not only is John filled with the Holy Spirit, but Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Godhead is filling people. And Zacharias and Elizabeth had no clue of this. They didn't ask for this. This was God's doing. God wanted these people filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the scripture reveals to us. And it's interesting because, you know, Christmas, again, is not about the getting of things, but about receiving those whom God has put in our lives. It's about receiving those whom God has put in our lives. And for Zacharias and Elizabeth, that was John. They needed to receive him, the word. And you remember, Zacharias even had a problem with that. Here, God trying to give him a son. And he says, well, now, why should I believe you, angel from heaven, standing in here by the right of the altar? Why should I believe you? He's having trouble receiving from God the person he'd been praying for. God's trying to give him a person. He's trying to give him a revelation, his answer to his own prayer. But along with that, he not only gives him John, he says he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then God fills his mother, Elizabeth, with the Holy Spirit. And notice how the Spirit manifested itself. Himself, I should say. Luke 1:42. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, how does she know that Mary's pregnant? How does she know who Mary carrying? Because Mary just greeted Elizabeth. She walks in the house. "How you doing, Elizabeth?" And Elizabeth, the babe, leaps in Elizabeth's womb. John is filled with the Holy Spirit. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she begins to prophesy. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So she starts prophesying words of knowledge. "And for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And so she immediately begins to, no, it wasn't signs and wonders. It was what came out of her mouth. The manifestation of the Spirit was what came out of her mouth. Some of what I'm trying to get at is the manifestation of the Spirit in our lives should be what comes out of our mouths. The filling, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. But listen, it doesn't stop there, because also Zacharias, remember him, the one who couldn't talk? After he named John on the day of circumcision, the eighth day of John's life, after he said his name shall be John, the Bible says his tongue was loosed. His tongue was loosed. In verse 67 of Luke chapter 1, it says, "And now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied." And prophesied. And so Zacharias now is filled with the Holy Spirit. This is all God's doing. And he begins to prophesy. The word in the Greek is prophetuo. It means to foretell events, divine events, to speak under inspiration, to exercise the prophetic office. It is the same Greek word we find in 1 Corinthians 14:1. You ready? "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Hold on. What are the spiritual gifts? Faith, miracles, wonders, tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing, miracles, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Paul said, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may what? Prophesy. What is the condition to be able to prophesy? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We've talked about this. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I'll never forget. Early, I was young in the Lord and was disobedient to the Lord one Sunday morning. Loretta was young, was early in the church, and I had been up Sunday morning. I was on the worship team back then, and I'd been up in the morning, and my habit was to get up and pray for about an hour in the Spirit, just pray in the Spirit. And then I would go to church, come to church, and so forth. And while I was up praying in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit said distinctly, I remember like it was just happening, he said, "Tell Sister Loretta that he knows what she's going through, and he is going to be all right. Tell her that." And I heard distinctly. And I remember coming to church, and I'm 20. I don't forget how old I was. I was in my 20s. And I'm worshiping and everything, and I see Loretta in the back of the church on her knees, almost like she's, you know, she was who she is. And I didn't say anything. And so Wednesday prayer came around, and I told her, I said, "Sister, you know God." She says, "Why didn't you tell me that on Sunday? Did you know what I was going through? I almost cracked." I was like, "For real?" She's like, "Yes." And I was like, "Oh God." And it began to click with me how important it is for us to obey God when he speaks to us to encourage someone in the Lord. Can I encourage you with this? God wants to use you to encourage someone in the Lord by the power of his Holy Spirit. And listen, don't trip up the part. Don't get hung up on the foretelling of events. Don't get tripped up on that. You know how many prophecies I've seen on YouTube, people prophesying? I understand why the Bible says despise not prophesying. You know why? Because people get out there and prophesy all kinds of craziness and just, oh, my goodness. There's just every prophecy, every type of prophecy you could imagine is on YouTube. And it's not even God. Hello? So don't get caught up on that. Speak under inspiration. I find that's what more the scripture is saying for us to do than foretelling events, because you can get it wrong. So don't get hung up on that. But when you feel inspired, when you feel moved by the Holy Spirit to speak to someone, come on, to say, to encourage someone, you do it. Do it so that that person may be edified. Because Paul says, he says, desire especially that you may prophesy. It is the same word in 1 Corinthians 14:31 that says, "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged." You can all prophesy. Amen. The word in Thayer's Greek lexicon says, it says to utter forth, or let me start with the first one, with the idea of foretelling future events pertaining especially to the kingdom of God. That's where a lot of people get hung up. They prophesying about everything else with the idea of foretelling future events pertaining especially to the kingdom of God. Also, to utter forth, to declare a thing which can only be known by divine revelation, to break forth under sudden impulse in lofty discourse or in praise of the divine counsels. And we have reference there, Luke 1:167, where Zacharias, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 16, we come to, again, it's about people. It's not about things. Luke 1:16, the angel says, "And he," speaking of John, "will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." John's ministry was all about bringing people back to God. His ministry was all about plowing the field, causing people to know that they needed to repent of their sins, that they needed to acknowledge their sins. Remember, he called them to a baptism of repentance in preparation for the Messiah who would come, who would die for their sins. And so he was the forerunner of the Lord. He called people back to God. Why? Because the heart of the Lord was for turning the hearts of the people back to himself. That is why his ministry was so effective. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And John's ministry was to prepare the people for the receiving of God's only Son. He even said in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." He said that to his disciples, those who were following him. He says, "Behold, look, this is the Lamb of God." And the Bible says some of his disciples left him and followed the Lamb. And that's exactly what they were supposed to do, because he was the forerunner pointing to the Messiah. They said, "John, are you the prophet who should come?" He says, "No, I'm not." He said, "But there's one amongst us the latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this Christmas season that we're in. We thank you that every day is Christmas for the believer. We thank you that every day is a day of thanksgiving, a day to give praise, a day to give honor, a day, oh God, of a longing to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, a day to receive all of the people that you're bringing into our lives, all of the persons, and especially the person of the Holy Spirit. That we would walk speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father for all things. Lord, I pray for this passionate and beautiful work of the Holy Spirit going on in us. Lord, that it would increase. Father, we would be aware of it. We would give ourselves to it. Lord, that Christ in all things in our lives would be glorified and magnified. That hope, that the gospel of peace would be preached to those, Lord, who are in darkness, that their eyes might be opened, that they would turn, Lord, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might know the redemption that is only in Christ Jesus our Lord. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen.